Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app. Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome! And doesn't it feel good to not be a loser? The Yankees won a game last night. The Mets won a game last night. And we are live from the Cadillac Club here at Citi Field. It's presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac is the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. We got a busy show today. The great Pete Alonso will join us next hour. Ron Darling will join us a little bit later on. A lot of baseball to get to, a lot of basketball to get to. It is funny. This is the one-year anniversary of us doing a show from the Cadillac Club before Mets-Yankees, and I was having to explain why I was so wrong that the Nets traded Mikal Bridges to the Knicks. That was a year ago, Tiki.
Who cares about Mikal Bridges? I remember walking into this place saying, I'm home.
Yes.
This is my favorite spot in all of the stadiums across the tri-state area.
That is right.
The Cadillac Club. They plied me with martinis as soon as we were done. It was amazing.
And remember this. We've done two shows at the Cadillac Club. This is our third. The Mets record, 2-0. So we're going to put the undefeated streak on the line a little bit later on.
This thing with the Braves, at least the second part of the series.
Yeah, look, the Mets needed a victory. The Yankees needed a victory. This is actually a very symbolic time in baseball because last night the Mets played their 81st game, which is very easy for us who struggle with math. All you need to do is times everything by 2, and that's the pace that the Mets are on.
Right.
The Yankees, who did win last night, they're off today, will play their 81st game on Friday. And it got me thinking last night. We're watching Max Fried again dominate, especially off a loss. We're watching Juan Soto be a happy man, hit multiple home runs, be very excited. Are the Yankees better off with Plan B? Because the whole plan B, if they didn't keep Juan Soto, was, well, we'll pivot.
Right.
And the main part of the pivot was Max Fried. If I had to guess, I think they still sign Goldschmidt. They probably don't sign Cody Bellinger. But the real main pivot was Max Fried.
So
as we sit here halfway through the season, Fried's had a great year. Soto's heating up. They're both in first place. I asked the Yankee fan, because I was giving this a lot of thought last night, is Plan B right now, 81 games in, better than what Plan A would have been?
How can you sit here and say that the Yankees are better off with without Juan Soto? That's why I can't say that the
Yankees... Even though Max Fried has had this ridiculous season?
That's the problem, is that Max Fried is pitching unbelievably, as he did again last night, 7 great innings. And so you know how important he is to this... But Carlos Rodon has been fantastic this year as well. So if you didn't get your ace in Max Fried, did you already have the ace in waiting in Carlos Rodon? This is obviously after Gerrit Cole goes down. But, I mean, Juan Soto, if he doesn't leave and go to the Mets, have to get used to a new clubhouse,
right,
have to, I don't know, live in the expectation of this massive contract that he has where he's got to be the leader on the field, maybe even in the clubhouse a little bit, even though I don't know if that's happening. But I think he's comfortable. Right, if he stays.
So he doesn't get off to the slow start he got off to.
He has 19 home runs right now. He probably has 25 if he stayed with the Yankees. And how much more does that make them able to have survived some of those bad points over the last couple of weeks? So it's hard to sit here and say with any kind of credibility, the Yankees are fine without Juan Soto because they have Max Fried. I get what you're saying, but I can't agree with that.
Well, it's funny. Whenever we talked about Plan A and Plan B with the Yankees with Soto, I think we all agreed they were better off keeping Juan Soto.
Of course.
But in the short term, there was a way they could be better in the short term. And I think we're seeing how that's possible because Max Fried has been one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Right.
He's been the stopper. Like, I was going back and forth on this because there's a part of me that says when you're an everyday player the way Juan Soto is, you impact every single game.
Right.
As opposed to when you're a starting pitcher, you you can impact other games based on going deep into a game and not having to overtax your bullpen, something the Mets have done a lot this season. But really, you're impacting the games you start. Everything else is, you know, kind of indirect.
Well, you can be like Gerrit Cole, too, the dugout leader.
Sure.
You're out there encouraging.
Absolutely.
The
I don't know how you measure that one.
You can't. But
so it's really what you do on the field. And Max Fried has been, I mean, name the guy you want to argue. He's been the best pitcher in baseball.
Right.
Want to argue Tarik Skubal, fine, but it's a small argument in terms of who's better than Max Fried. And the Yankee offense has been good. Would it be better if Soto was there instead of Cody Bellinger? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens in the 17 games Max Fried started? And what happens in all the games Max Fried has started coming after losses?
Right.
That's the other thing that's kind of crazy, and that's what happened last night with the Yankees.
Well, he's clutch.
He's pitching, coincidentally, a lot of games after Yankee losses. And he's delivering just about every time.
Well, so now that partly changes the argument. Because what that tells you is that the rotation from start to finish isn't great. Right? Because if he's pitching after losses, that means that whoever your fifth starter is every, you know, out of 6 days is not good.
Or it's
not good enough.
Or it's a coincidence.
I mean,
that's
what
happens.
Maybe. We're going to have to check that.
Yeah.
But it just tells you that the rotation isn't deep enough. So if you didn't have Max Fried and it was just Carlos Rodon, how much worse is the rotation?
Well, if you don't have Max Fried, and the way I've assumed Plan B versus Plan A would have worked is if they kept Juan Soto, they were adding a first baseman. So Goldie's probably still on his team.
But not a high-priced ace pitcher.
I don't think so, unless Hal Steinbrenner was willing to open up the pocketbook in a way that I think would have surprised most of us. They're probably going more back-end or maybe not adding anybody to the starting rotation. And I think through 81 games, through the first half of the season, it's actually been an edge to have Max Fried here. When you factor in no Gerrit Cole, when you factor in the rest of the back of the rotation, when you factor in they've scored plenty of runs.
No Luis Hill.
No Luis Hill for now, which we didn't know at the time, in fairness. Remember, Luis Hill goes down. We didn't know that was going to happen. So I think through 81 games, I would actually side, if I'm being fair, I'm being an IBO right now. I'm not taunting. I'm not having fun with you saying Soto's smiling and he hates the Yankees. They are better off having the ace. The problem is, if I project the next 81 games and project the next 14 years, that's easy.
Right.
Then you're not better off with Plan B.
Well, it's also asinine to say any team is better off without Juan Soto. So that's the first thing I hear.
Yeah, but you're leaving out the part that you added Max Fried.
I understand.
You're just
that
saying there's no Juan Soto.
But you hear Juan Soto is not on your team anymore, and you're better. I mean, it doesn't make any damn sense.
Yeah, because you left out the Fried part. You're being misleading.
I'm not being
misleading.
You're
like a politician.
I'm not. I'm
you
being...
and Jay Feely talking lately?
Yes, we have. I love Jay Feely running for Congress out in Arizona.
That's why I said it.
Fifth district, by the way. So anyways, I feel like the Yankees are surviving without Juan Soto offensively because Trent Grisham gets four hits last night. You see the Martian who has long sought to be this guy who's going to come in and revolutionize whatever. He finally hit and had a big day last night. He had four hits as well. So they're getting buoyed offensively, but it's kind of hit and miss. It's here or there. Trent Grisham went through a stretch for about a month where he just wasn't that same player that he started the season with.
Right.
So I hear you. You can pitch no hitters or close to it, but if you don't score any damn runs, how are you better?
No, and that's the other thing. Like, in the games Fried doesn't pitch, how much better would Soto have made the Yankee offense? And the answer is considerably better.
All right, let's ask the real Yankee fan, Sean Morash. Are you finally over Juan Soto?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I saw this tweet last night that was so utter troll.
No, I'm happy.
It had to make Evan proud.
No, I'm happy for Juan Soto. He's finally happy here, and I think that's great. But yeah, no, of course I'm over it. But the Yankees are better off to answer that question now. I was honest. I didn't think so early. But remember when they let go of Juan Soto and they signed Max Fried? We thought Cole would be a part of this. We thought he would be a part of this.
But they didn't. I think they knew that Gerrit Cole was likely. Not going to be a long-term part of the 2025 season.
Maybe not, but I can only look at this from a fan's perspective. To me, Juan Soto, we have a 15 years to get through and judge it.
Right.
There has been no more impactful free agent in Major League Baseball than what Max Fried has done for the Yankees. So if I feel that way, how do I not look at their plan B they had and go, yeah.
Yeah, you're right and you're wrong all at the same time. And here's my point on this. Through 81 games, through the sample size that we are now at, 81 for the Mets, 80 for the Yankees. Tomorrow night they'll officially hit the halfway point. I would argue, and it's close, that Plan B has been better than Plan A because of the value Max Fried has given the rotation. But here's what should depress you.
it's close. And Max Fried has been 85 Doc Gooden to make it close.
Sure.
For the next half of the season, I don't know if it'll be that close. For next year and year three and year four and year five, it isn't going to be, because Max Fried is great now. I don't know what he's going to be next year, or the year after.
I don't.
And
disagree.
That's where you lose, and that's what I always said about the Plan A versus Plan B. There's a reason it was Plan A, because it's your preferred option.
Yeah.
And while you may benefit in the short term, which I think they've done through 81 games, that's my victory I hand to you.
You're talking about the Yankees.
The Yankees. Right. He represents them. There's no way that continues over the next.
Not?
Forget 50.
But why not?
Because pitchers in general are not surviving at this level for more than a couple of years.
Okay, but if the Yankees,
if that's your big
behind
retort,
Max Fried, behind Carlos Rodon, let's say Jason Dominguez and Trent Grisham become these stalwarts, and they are what we thought they were at the beginning of the season, and they win a championship, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so you brought up the cancellation button. Anytime you win a championship, all arguments die. Like, in honor of the one-year anniversary of the Mikal Bridges trade, I know that as the years go by, Tommy and I will always have the back and forth about who won the trade, right? Stupid little argument. Tommy always knew, and I always knew this too, if the Knicks win an NBA championship, debate ends. That's it. It's over. Won the trade. Goodbye. It's over.
Right. If they trade him this offseason, the Knicks lose.
Well, that's a different story. But you're right.
Don't look scared, Tommy.
If Max Fried leads the Yankees, like what he's done through the first half of this season is unbelievable. Like, I pulled some numbers because they're really incredible for how good this guy has been. He has put together one of the great starts in the history of the New York Yankees through the first half of the season. And I don't know if that can continue in the second half. If it does, he's going to win a Cy Young. But, hold on, I pulled it. It was amazing. Here it is. 1.92 ERA. Third lowest by a Yankee pitcher in his first 17 starts since 1913.
Wow.
Fried has allowed two or few earned runs in all but two of his starts. He has been the most dominant Yankee after losses, 8-1 with a 0.93 ERA. He's having a ridiculous season.
Yeah, he is.
If that continues, let's say I'm wrong about, he's going to not pitch as well in the second half. If this continues and he wins the Cy Young, and then in the postseason, unlike his resume, he dominates the postseason and he's the World Series MVP, well, then obviously Plan B worked for your championship.
Right.
Just like if the Yankees won a World Series last year, the Soto trade would have been worth it, no questions asked. So, yes, the championship is the great derailer, if you will.
It is the great derailer, but even in the context of 81 games, so the first 81 of this season, the Yankees are fine.
Yes.
But I can't say they're better without Juan Soto.
But they wouldn't be leading the division right now, though.
I don't know if I can agree with that.
Because of all that Max Fried's done, the way they've won games with Max Fried, I think even Juan Soto, think about when the Yankees were scoring all the runs at the beginning of the year, Juan Soto would have just added to that. Juan Soto now, he would have helped as they were slumping during this point.
Right. Useless runs when you're blowing teams out.
But knowing that you haven't had Cole and Heel, and knowing the way the pitching has kind of gone like this, Winans would have been up here earlier? Like, what would the Yankees have done right now?
Max Fried.
Maybe they would have signed Sean Manaea and he would have been hurt.
Maybe. Or they signed someone who gets hurt. Right. Max Fried is receiving about 7 runs per game in run support. That's not to minimize what he's done, but my point is, if you're having Soto in this lineup and you have an average replacement, if the Yankees are scoring enough runs, they may win those games anyway.
Right.
Maybe. I have a hard time thinking they are leading the Tampa Bay Rays knowing what's happened right now without the job of Max
Fried. And here's the other thing you're not factoring in. If Juan Soto was still on the Yankees instead of Cody Bellinger, and I do think that's a one-for-one comp, because I think if Soto is here...
Right, not to say that they're equal, it's who they replaced.
I don't think Goldie replaced him. I think they were signing Goldie either way. They needed a first baseman.
Or Bellinger was the first baseman.
I agree. The reason I disagree is the lefty-righty thing.
Okay.
I think they would have preferred Goldie, plus it wasn't a trade, it was a free agent signing. I think it would have been Goldie. If Soto's there batting second ahead of Aaron Judge, or vice versa, depending on the way Boone wanted to do it, can you imagine the amount of RBIs Aaron Judge would have? He's having a historic season anyway. So you can't minimize what would have been different about this lineup if Juan Soto was here. And so we're 81 games in, and you think it's not even close.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's close, And Max Fried's had a historic start to
the
season.
I'll tell you, it's debatable is what the answer is, because both teams are in good spots right now. Half a game out, the Mets are, because of the Phillies losing to the Astros again and obviously finally getting a win over the Braves. But the Yankees are just sitting atop the East, the AL East. And while they're getting the Toronto's getting closer and Tampa is right there, it doesn't feel like they're threats. And so
I kind of agree with that. The standings may be close. It doesn't feel like a threat.
It's weird. You don't feel scared.
And I feel the opposite. Like, even though the Phillies just lost back-to-back games to the Astros, in which they haven't scored a run,
right,
I'm like more afraid of a team like Philadelphia than I would be about Tampa Bay and Toronto. But let me give the Mets some credit, because they needed to win yesterday. We did not want to be here in that kind of mood after more losses to Atlanta. Juan Soto delivers with a pair of home runs. Clay Holmes battled through five innings. It was an all-around good day for the New York Mets.
It was.
They win a baseball game. They finally score some runs. Can I nitpick one little tiny thing?
Yeah, real quick, I just got to say thank you, Tommy and Sean, for the impromptu Lugash debate series that kind of, for a day, broke the curse. Thank you, guys.
It's a
appreciate
great point,
you.
Tiki. Thank you very
Congratulations on your victory. Thank you for participating.
You're welcome.
We do what we can.
2-0, the Yankees and Mets are.
That's right.
It's the debate to refix the Mets and Yankees, because for those that are not aware, Sean and I had a debate who's better, Mets or Yankees, at the height of their greatness. And right after that debate, both teams went on horrible losing streaks.
Should we re-debate that today? Now
no. Let me tell you something. Never again in the history of this radio station are we, at least, doing a who's better, Mets or Yankees debate, considering what it started. But Juan Soto was great last night. He electrified Citi Field. Juan Soto, do me one favor. Mm-hmm. See, I'm going to nitpick all my Mets, all right? Like Pete Alonso, who'll join us at 3 o'clock, I'll tell him this. Pete, can you hit a couple of home runs? It's been one home run in the last 3 weeks. I mean, can you put a few over the fence? We're waiting on this Darryl Strawberry record.
The greatest home run hitter in your history and your franchise's history is now second to Juan Soto?
No. I'm just saying I need Pete to hit a home run.
I know, but he's second to Juan Soto now.
Oh, you mean this season?
This season.
That's fine. That's okay. Once Pete gets hot, he may pass him. Can Juan hit a couple of home runs with guys on base? Like, Juan Soto.
Say that to his face, Evan.
Juan, I love you, bro. This is how I say it to Mets. This is the way I'll say it to Pete in an hour. You know I love you, Juan. Actually, don't know. You have no idea who I am.
By the way, these are previews of the bobblehead, the giveaways that are coming up in the 2025 schedule for the Mets.
Yeah, it looks good. If you're watching on SNY, you can see it. If you're listening, it's basically a replica of Juan Soto. He's got his ass sticking out. He's getting ready to hit.
Yep. Speaking of ass sticking out.
what? Mrs. Met?
Mrs. Met is coming as well.
Yeah.
There's the Mrs. Met bobblehead for those that are watching on
TV. Do you have a question for Juan Soto that you needed to ask?
Yeah, my question is this. How many home runs has Juan hit this season? What's our grand total now?
19.
He's at 19?
19.
Juan, like 16 of them have been solo shots. And I love you. And trust me, solo home runs are fantastic. Mm-hmm. But can you hit a couple with guys on base, please?
Yes, Evan.
And that goes to the entire Met team.
Yes.
The Mets are hitting a ton of home runs even when they can't score runs. No one's ever on base. Can you hit a couple with guys on base? Thank you, Juan.
Yeah, and you can get that Juan Soto bobblehead Saturday, August 16th. A nice giveaway here.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm going away that day, and I'm still trying to talk my wife into, actually, let's go to the Met game, get the Soto bobble, and then we'll
leave.
It's
so easy. Just give your tickets to Tommy. Tommy will represent you sitting in your perfect seats.
Here's
and get you the bobblehead.
Here's the problem.
He'll be here early. He's got no kids to worry about. He can actually come over at like 9:30.
Here's the problem. I've done this before. I've actually given tickets to people where I say, hey, look, free tickets. Give me the giveaway. And if I'm not mistaken, Tommy, you have shamed me for this on the air before.
I have.
So how could I then ask him to do the thing he shames me for?
What if I told you, Evan, I have a Juan Soto bobblehead. It'll cost you $5,000, though. You could Venmo me or cash either way.
Yeah, I'd say hold on to it. Maybe you could sell it on eBay in a couple of months. We got a lot going on. We're from the Cadillac Club. We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019. The Mets get a big victory. The Yankees get a big victory. And as we reach the halfway point, are the Yankees truly better off with their plan B, which features Max Fried on his way to potentially an American League Cy Young, but not having Juan Soto? Pete Alonso will join us coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. And yes, despite being in a very classy place like the Cadillac Club, I have been informed that at 4:30 today, we will be joined by Bad Tiki. So
I thought we postponed him for today.
No, he's here. Bad Tiki will join the program coming up.
Hide the Mrs. Met bobblehead.
You better.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
We are live from the Cadillac Club. By the way, and this is not even something coming from management. This is something from me because I am so depressed and disgusted. We decided that my reaction to the Brooklyn Nets draft will actually be capped with 20 seconds.
20
so,
seconds?
Yeah, only 20 seconds.
Even underneath the allotted 30 seconds?
Yeah, I made that decision myself that this franchise doesn't deserve more than 20 seconds.
I was wondering what your reaction to that draft was going to be.
Well, you'll have to wait for the 20 seconds, Tink.
I can't wait for that first pick that you guys took. Sounds a lot like Ben Simmons to me.
The Nets still in the league.
Wow.
Maybe he cares.
What a comparison.
Maybe he
Jeez.
Cares. Maybe he cares a little bit.
Yes, we'll get to that coming up in a few minutes, but let's get to your telephone calls. Obviously, the Mets won a game last night. The Yankees won a game last night. The Mets are at the halfway point of the season as they try to get a split against Atlanta. And we talk about the greatness of Juan Soto, who is bursting out. He's performing as a Met. Max Fried is performing as a Yankee, and it makes you wonder, are the Yankees better off with the plan B that brought them Max Fried, or would they have been better off getting Juan Soto back? Let us lead it off on this fine Thursday with John in Bayonne, New Jersey. Good afternoon, John.
Hey, what up, John?
I feel like Ricky Henderson. I love that. I love that when it comes to acting.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, Evan, the last 2 days, man, you're hitting me home runs. I love your theory. I love what you're saying. You make a lot of sense about it because what it comes down to it, if Juan Soto signs with the Yankees, do we sign the Mad Max? That's number one.
No.
Okay. Okay. Number two is, if we trade, we did trade for Soto. If we didn't trade for him, we get Michael King, and we don't get Stroman, who's a bust. Okay? Okay? So we lucked out this year. Stroman went down. These other guys filled in. Max is having a mad day. And he'll win. Right now, he wins the Cy Young. And Mr. Judgey wins most valuable player.
The question, though, is, John, here is the key. And this is the key to all of this. Last year, when they acquired Juan Soto, he not only had a brilliant season, he followed it up with a brilliant postseason.
Right.
Including hitting the home run that we mostly remember from last year's American League Championship Series. What is Max Fried going to do in the second half of the year? And what is he going to do when he toes the rubber at Yankee Stadium in Game 1 of the Division Series? Because the pressure that Max Fried faces, and by the way, Juan's going to face this too at the Mets, don't get me wrong, is what are you going to do in October?
Yeah.
Because Max Fried could win the Cy Young if he gives up 6 runs in the first inning of a Division Series game against the Seattle Mariners. This guy to my left, I don't mean Tiki, is going to boo the crap out of him.
You're not going to boo Max Fried if he craps the bed against the Mariners in the postseason, are you?
How many innings?
Well,
how many innings are you going to have to 6 runs in?
The equivalent I like to bring up is, I'll call this Max Squared. The same performance Max Scherzer gave the Mets in the 2022 Wild Card Series.
Boo him and demand he's traded the rest of the season.
Stop.
Gotta perform in October.
It's all about October, baby. Let's go to Mike and Howell. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on? Tiki, I love you.
Appreciate you.
Evan, what happens if he turns into a Ryan Howard? There's been plenty of guys who've had 5-year great careers. What if Juan Soto falls off the edge of the earth?
Do you think there's a better chance, Mike, in your opinion, of Juan Soto turning into
a pitcher's not going to land?
Okay, well, that's you answered my question before I asked it. You're like psychic,
because he doesn't want to answer the question about Max Fried. He cares about Juan Soto.
I think
Mike, it is very unlikely that Juan Soto is going to turn into Ryan Howard in the next 5 years. And I want to tell you something about Juan Soto, and we'll spend more time on this later because I did think it was fascinating. Juan Soto reeks of a guy
who cares so much about his stats and so much about his accomplishments and so much about his legacy. And I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way. Right. This is actually about to go into a good place.
Yeah, I'm saying, is this a good thing or no, a bad
it's
a, thing?
It's actually a great thing. That he's never going to get fat and say, yeah, I got my money, I'm good. Mm-hmm. 5 years from now, what the hell do I care? I'm getting paid. This guy really wants to be the greatest of all time. Now, I'm not saying he's ever going to be the greatest of all time, but he wants to be Ted Williams. Like, he wants to be Double X Jimmy Fox. Like, he wants to be in that small fraternity.
You would have known this if you would have went to college.
You're right. As one of the great hitters of all time. So I'm actually not concerned about what Juan Soto's going to be in 5 years, because I think forever, you can tell me what you want about his speed, about his defense, fine. He'll go backwards. I'm not going to argue that.
And eventually he'll be a DH, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't matter.
As a hitter, I believe this guy will be a great hitter for the super majority of that 15-year contract.
And to add to that, baseball was a different world when Ryan Howard declined. Mm-hmm. He was already a first baseman. They didn't have the option in Philadelphia of making him a DH. The Mets will be smart about this investment. If Juan Soto's a butcher in the outfield, they feel like he's losing something. First base, and then eventually DH to save his bat.
But he's also going to, I think, for the rest of his career, no matter how much money he's making, he wants it, man.
Of course.
Like he wants it. And so that actually, because I remember early on when he was struggling, and he was struggling to the standards that we have for him, there were concerns and there were calls saying, hey, did the guy get his money and not care? Mm. And I never bought that because he reeks of the kind of guy who's the opposite of that.
It's why he didn't look happy in the dugout. It's why it felt like...
Well, that's what I was always saying.
Making excuses about him not liking it with the New York Mets over in Queens, but the reality is he just doesn't like not being great.
Yes.
It's as simple as that.
He's very into performance, which is not a bad thing.
Why act happy when you're not?
Yes.
Why fake it?
But you would sign for Ryan Howard's career if you're Juan Soto as a Met.
Excuse me?
Because he'd won a World Series.
Well, okay. I mean...
Well, he's already won
and
a
been
World
to
Series.
Two. Right, but with the Mets...
You're saying for my team... Look, I think the World Series or the NBA Finals or the Super Bowl question is a dirty question when you talk to someone like me because I'm a loser. I've won nothing. So, of course, I'd sign for anything that involves a championship. Like, how could the answer be no? It may be different for you because you've been fortunate enough to see the Yankees win, the Giants win, so you could be a little bit more picky. But, yeah, if you told me, like, I'll take this to the extreme, Juan Soto and the Mets win the World Series this year. And then Juan Soto just basically stops caring about baseball, and the last 14 years of his contract is a waste. I'd sign for that.
Of course.
They won the World Series. So
he would have to stop caring like 2 years later.
Yeah.
It couldn't be immediate.
Couldn't be immediate. That would bother me.
You want the belief that you could actually go back to back.
I'd want the dream of the repeat.
The dream of the repeat.
Yeah, apparently. Maybe you're right. Matt is calling from Monroe. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you doing, Evan? Love you guys' show. Kiki. I don't know how you're the most calm and cool. You soothe me. It's
a lot of meditation.
I relax.
Meditation.
I just relax.
And running.
I need it. I need that. So I guess, you know, we're comparing a lot about Max Fried and Soto, right?
Yeah.
But there's one thing we're missing is the contracts don't add up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
They're not paid the same amount. Don't you think the Yankees might have some more flexibility in the future? Maybe at the trade deadline, maybe Kyle Tucker next year.
Yes and no.
It's a good point, Matt, but I think it's a little bit more complicated than that because Max Fried, who has an 8-year contract, is something that the Mets would never do. A lot of teams won't do this anymore. They won't give these age maybe somewhat compromised because of health issues in the past contract. They won't give them to these pitchers because they know eventually they're going to get hurt. Eventually they're going to miss a season or a season and a half. Whereas Juan Soto is almost, I don't want to say guaranteed because he could obviously have a devastating injury, but unlikely. He's almost guaranteed to give you good production for at least a decade, right? And maybe even the whole 15 years or 14 that are left. So I know what you're talking about. The contracts don't match up, but I think it's the position that Max Fried plays versus what Juan Soto plays that makes it not really comparable.
Well, and the way I look at it with the contracts matching up is it's Goldschmidt, not Goldschmidt, I'm sorry, it's Cody Bellinger and it's Max Fried. Now, Max Fried's contract is a little different because he's actually not making that much this year.
Right.
It's pushed back towards year three, year four, year five of the deal. But, you know, for the intents and purposes of the average salary, if you take Fried and you take Bellinger, the money turns out to be very similar. Mm-hmm. And so in the short term, no, I don't think there's that much more flexibility. I think in the long term is where you have flexibility because Cody Bellinger's not going to be here.
Right.
And then, yes, Max Fried is here for 8 years, but that's also less than 15 years. So right. That's why, like...
But I don't think that has anything to do with this year.
No, no. In this year's complicated because, A, Max Fried is making less money this season. B, they got an insurance policy on Garrett Cole's injury.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Do they have more flexibility? It doesn't feel like they have that much flexibility at the trade deadline. Like, I think they used their flexibility when Soto didn't re-sign to make the moves that they already made.
Right. So, now it'll be to go in way into the luxury tax. That's what the trade deadline means for the Yankees.
Yeah.
And Plan B ultimately is not just about this year. There could be different versions of Plan B along the entire contract.
Okay, so that's the big thing on this. And I remember saying this at the time. 4 years from now, 6 years from now, yeah, the Yankees will have flexibility to sign other guys, not named Juan Soto, but are you confident that would make you better than having Juan Soto? And the answer is likely not. So Plan B will vary year to year, and we'll have different opinions every single year on if they're better off or they're not better off.
So does that mean the last week of June every year for the next 15 years we get to discuss is the Yankees Plan B?
Yes. Do you want to make that a holiday?
Yeah, why not?
What it has to be.
What is today's day?
Every 81st. Every
June 26th.
Game 81.
Oh, you want to do a Game 81 tradition?
Just do it every Game 81.
All right, so from here on out, Game 81, we will reevaluate where we are with Plan B and Juan Soto. Now,
that's for the next 14 years.
Let me ask you your permission. All right. Yeah. I've already said, and maybe you could already hint how I feel about this, that I think the Brooklyn Net draft, my reaction, I'll give 30 seconds. There are people on hold that would like to talk about the Net draft. Should I take that phone call?
Yeah, you might as well.
All right.
The Net's still in the league.
Let's take the phone call.
He also said there are people. Should I take that phone call?
There are two.
There's actually two.
Oh, okay.
But my gut is it's mostly going to be Knick fans mocking the Brooklyn Net draft.
Let's test one.
All right.
Well, even though this kid is in Brooklyn. So.
This kid's in Brooklyn. Noah in Brooklyn. Noah, first of all, are you a Brooklyn Nets fan? Start off with that.
All right, listen. I'm not a Nets fan. I'm a Knicks fan.
We knew it.
I'm not going to mock you. I'm not going to mock you, all right?
Go ahead.
Listen, I'm a young guy. I'm 22. I feel bad for you. I was listening on the radio yesterday. I was excited. I thought you guys were going to draft, you know, Fears or Bailey or maybe trade up and get Harper. And I was watching with my dad, and what I witnessed last night might be the worst draft I've ever seen in my life. I think the front office is entirely out of touch with analytics. I think they're out of touch with the eye test. Drake Powell might be okay. The other four out of five picks, I don't think we'll be in the NBA in 4 years.
Well, first of all, if you're right about that,
wow,
that four of the five first-round picks aren't in the NBA in the next 5 years, Sean Marks won't be in the NBA in the next year, year and a half.
Wow.
Now, was this what I – you want to start the 20 seconds now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Tommy, you keep track.
You got it.
Was this what I wanted? Absolutely not. But I can't sit here and tell you guys that I've barely watched are clearly going to suck just because experts are telling us that. Now, I will admit that Sean Marks, Joe Tsai, and the rest of that crew high-fiving each other like they won a championship after every pick they made drove me nuts. Like, seriously? What are we celebrating?
That's what we wanted.
Oh, yeah, we got it. We're amazing. So I'm disappointed, but I'm also open-minded enough to know, are we really done with this time already? All right.
Wrap it up.
I'm also, like, open-minded enough to know that these guys could hit. We don't know.
Yeah.
Just because a 22-year-old and his father watched it and thought it was a disaster, but I don't want to lie to you. Am I disappointed by last night? Absolutely.
Right.
Am I fired up for next year? No. Am I expecting doom for the next decade? Absolutely.
And one kid's mom thought that he was drafted by the Knicks.
Well, I didn't notice that at all. All she said was New York, and obviously Brooklyn is
in
New York.
I'm just joking. I don't think she actually thought she was drafted.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Teak. Let me ask you what goes through your brain.
Okay.
It's already a non-excited enough draft. What causes you to say, let me make up stuff just to stick it to Evan?
Well, that's what social media told me.
Social media is filled with idiots.
Of course it is, but I still was interesting.
And that's why.
Especially because the kid looks so awkward.
I understand. Well, they're all awkward. They're 18-year-olds. I was awkward at 18 and 42.
Mom, it's Brooklyn.
Here's the reality.
Mom, it's Brooklyn.
I don't.
It's Brooklyn, Mom.
I don't know
Shut
if
up,
this,
son. It's New York City.
I don't know if this is going to work. We just need to be hopeful. That's the way I look at drafts. But, yes, I was expecting more. When Ace Bailey went, it's funny. I told my wife. She's like, so what do you want, honey? I said, well, I'm not going to get into that. I said there are three players. Three players that excite me. Okay? Ace Bailey was one of them.
Yep.
Trey Johnson was another one of them. And the third one was Jeremiah Fears. Okay? Basic knowledge, but those are the three guys I want. As they started getting picked off right before the Nets were picking, she hears me slamming the table every second. And she's like, not going well, huh?
I'm quietly going to leave the house.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's the draft. You never know.
Yeah, you do.
You got to have that attitude. You never know. Let's go to Alex calling from New Jersey. What's up, Alex?
What's going on, Tiki and Nevin and Sean? Are you guys doing well?
All's well.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for calling, man. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I told you before that Soto was going to go on this epic run, and now, Tiki, Evan has me worried.
Why?
Because he hasn't learned from his lesson. Now he's comparing, are the Yankees better with or without Soto? Is Free better? I don't want to hear Evan talk about who's better at all this whole year until we undo what was done.
Oh, I get where you're getting at, Alex. Oh, I see. Well, this is kind of an extension, a little twist of the debate we had a little less than a week ago, where who's the better team, and that led to a massive, like, losing streak. So, Evan, I mean, you're trying to do?
Absolutely. First of all, it's a Yankee discussion. It is a, hey, we're halfway through the season. Is Plan B better than Plan A? I think this is a discussion a lot of Yankee fans have at the water cooler or on the internet or in their text chat or wherever the hell people talk these days.
But I think Yankee fans have, by and large, gotten over Juan Soto.
No, they haven't. That's the biggest lie you can tell yourself.
They only care about Juan Soto when they control the Met, when he's having a bad game or a bad series of games. That's the only thing they care about. I don't think they're saying, oh, we really missed one.
No.
If I had Juan Soto, oh, my God, it would be amazing.
They're
not doing that.
Your two arguments aren't the same. Like, yeah, you're right. No one is crying that they miss him openly, but there is an interest in him. And the decision upon him leaving and how they replaced him and how they're doing and how he's doing. So I just reject the first part of your argument, which is Yankee fans don't care about it. That's not true. Your second part is accurate. I'm not saying Yankee fans are begging, like, oh, my God, Juan Soto. But I do think it's a worthy discussion, considering Plan B, to many, looks better than what Plan A was, at least through 81 games.
Plan B is actually pretty good for the Yankees.
No doubt.
Yeah. This is about Juan Soto.
It's also about Max Fried.
But I think Met fans are convinced that Yankee fans are still pining, are still upset that he left and went to the Mets. I think they were. I don't think they are anymore. That's all I'm saying about Juan Soto.
I understand.
You're a Yankee fan. 100% right, Tiki Barber.
No, I mean, he's not 100%
right. Oh, he's 100% right.
He's probably like 68% right.
Because you know how you could tell? Here's a little trick. Instead of just looking for when people mention Juan Soto, the Yankee fan anger when they've played poorly lately and all their complaints have been their same complaints last year when they struggled with Juan Soto and the years before Juan Soto, which is the telltale sign Yankee fans don't care to have moved on because they're still complaining about the same things.
Right. Let's go to Steve calling from Babylon. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Evan. What about Sean? He's not dressed as a Met, remember? The Betty boss?
Oh, nah. You know what, Steve? I appreciate it. We actually did it last week at Fanatics Fest. He dressed as a Met. He paid his due. And what made it great is he had to do it in front of A-Rod.
Right.
So I think that was...
I got another thing to ask.
Go ahead.
What do you think about McNeil now with that catch from the home run he stole?
I'll tell you, Steve.
He might be your everyday center fielder.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but he definitely should play a lot more in center field. I think that catch was one of the most important plays of the entire season. Like, I really do.
Season?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
How about first half?
Well, so far, I mean, it's the season. It's 81 games. Like, yeah, it's up there.
But you say season, I think you're talking about the entire 162.
Well, spoiler alert. There will be a lot of things in the second half of the season that will be more important than what happened in the first 81 games.
Right. So the next thing will be the most important game of the season.
Well, it could be. I mean, let's see where the way the season goes.
Okay.
I think if you look back at last year, now that we have a whole full season to look at, there were some things from the first half of 2024 that stood the test of time in terms of importance. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yes, Lindor, game 161, Lindor in Toronto, those things blow it away. But let me walk you through why that catch is the most important moment of the Mets season so far. Is that phrase better?
That is better.
Okay.
So far, it does so much.
Thank you. So far. Because yesterday was the most important game they've played. They have really, really struggled. We know that. And they're about to go down 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Marcell Ozuna is about to hit a home run. That ball's over the fence.
Right.
And knowing the way the Mets have struggled and how they've played from behind, it just puts so much more pressure on that lineup to be playing from behind than being playing at 0-0 right. or at 1-1. And I think that the mood could have changed drastically if Jeff doesn't make that catch. So I think it wasn't only a great play by a guy that's converting to center field. Like, that's obvious and good. And Jeff told this great story that he's been working on that in terms of jumping off of one of his legs and pushing and getting more height on a ball at the wall.
Right.
So all that's great. But in terms of what that could have looked like if he didn't make that play, last night's game could have looked drastically different.
Right. You're talking 0-6 to the Braves so far this season.
I mean, that game, they may not win yesterday.
No. I mean, but you still have Juan Soto, who went off, obviously, in the second round through with that young kid on the mound. So, I mean, ultimately, I think you were destined to win yesterday because of the pitching
matchup. That's easy to say. It is. Easy, but you don't know that.
But you saw it. Second time around, they started teeing off on
But is sports not mental? And I think when you're a team that's struggling and you're pressing, you don't press more when you're down 2-0.
I'm actually interested to ask Pete Alonso this when he joins us in about half an hour. Because we've said this multiple times already this season about how it feels like when pitching struggles, the bats aren't hot. And the same thing can go the other way around. How connected this team feels to what's happening with their rotation right now.
Yeah.
Because we saw them carrying the team at the beginning of the season, and now they've struggled a little bit. But at the same time, the bats have gone silent.
Right.
So I wonder how connected they are, and if they're thinking about it, or if it's just one-off, one-on-one, every single time you're at the plate.
And being down 2-0 versus being in a scoreless game, to me, is drastically different. It was a really important play by Jeff McNeil, a great play. Would I play him more in center field? A little bit more. I don't know if I'd say everyday center fielder. I think what Carlos Mendoza needs to do is play the hot hand. Mm-hmm. And one of the most interesting decisions the Mets are going to have to make today, and certainly keep us posted if they make this decision, Sean, Tommy, and Connor back in the shop,
right.
And that is, if they activate Mark Vientos, are they going to send down a guy who over the last 2 days has been red hot, Ronnie Mauricio?
Right.
Because there's two schools of thought here. There's the school of thought that says, you know what, let him play every day. Send him down on a good note. He's got great confidence. Thank you, Ronnie. We'll see you later. The other school of thought, which is where I lean, is, wait a second. This guy may have figured something out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll find a way to play you as long as you're hitting. And over the last two games, really the last at-bat on Wednesday or Tuesday, followed by yesterday,
right.
He is hitting.
But it was also the second time through on a AAA pitcher.
So that doesn't count now?
I mean, it does, but I mean, you know what you're getting. You can feast on young pitching.
I understand, but you're Ronnie.
He's had a different struggle versus veteran pitchers.
Absolutely, but I don't think that Ronnie Mauricio should have anything kind of put down. And by the way,
I'm just stating the obvious.
Well, but here's the other thing that you're leaving out. The hit that got him going the night earlier was against Raisel Iglesias, one of the better pitchers relievers in the sport, despite his rough start. So you can't say it's all off of young players.
Tommy does have the Met lineup for us, if you're interested.
I do have it.
Does it include Mark Vientos?
It does not.
Does it include Ronnie Mauricio?
It does.
All right, so then we know Mauricio hasn't been sent down yet.
Mauricio's hitting ninth at second base.
But it really doesn't matter until they activate Vientos. Because they could activate him and keep him on the bench as a right-handed bat off the bench.
And they have not activated him yet.
Well, that's the question. Have they activated Vientos?
All we have is the lineup. No activations.
So we got half of it right now. We know that Mauricio's not going down today. And I wonder if the Mets say to themselves, you know what? Let's wait a day. And let's see if Ronnie Mauricio can keep this going.
Mm.
Because if he keeps this going, it's worth keeping him up here.
Right.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.